We're going to start talking about the key elements of biblical counseling. You're all fired up now because Pastor Virus fired you up about biblical counseling, and now you want to know, what do I do when I sit across the table from somebody and start talking to them? What do I do? Say, what do I do? I'm glad you asked. All right. I'm going to say to you, this is not some kind of mystical knowledge things that you don't know, and ultimately that it's some kind of technical expertise like rocket science. It is not rocket science. Say it's not rocket science. Say that. Okay, it's not. I'm going to say to you this. It is, folks, it's not just what we do in biblical counseling 1 hour, one time a week, you know, when we work with people. I'm going to present to you that this is something that we are supposed to be thinking about all of life in. Okay, if I said to you, biblical counseling is really incarnational ministry. When I say incarnational ministry, what do you think of? Incarnational ministry. What? You think of, I heard this, the name Jesus Christ, not just because that's a Sunday school answer for every question, okay? But Jesus was God in human flesh who came down. And he came down in order to give you things like hope, to talk to you about our problems in a sin and suffering world, to give us instruction and to hold us accountable for what we're supposed to do in this world. Okay? So incarnational ministry, when I look at Christ, I see God. He is the, I'm going to say this word, this phrase, maybe you've heard it before, maybe you haven't. None of this is original with me. Just like Pastor Vire said, none of it's original with him either. What do we have that we have not received from ultimately God anyway? Christ was the perfect visible representation of the invisible God. Okay? I'm saying that for a particular reason. John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time. Have you guys seen God this morning? Tell me. Did you see God this morning? Okay. If you looked at Christ in the scriptures, you did, because the only begotten Son of God explains him or shows him. God is invisible. Okay, but God wanted a perfect visible representative of himself, who actually was himself, in fleshed out form, John 1:18, and that is the incarnational ministry. And we look at Christ ultimately to find hope, to find out what our problems are, to find instruction, and to give us our purpose of what we're supposed to do. Okay, now if I said to you this, okay, what are the spiritual disciplines? You would say things like, okay, I know what to do. I know my devos. I know prayer and fasting. And I know scripture memory. Those are my disciplines. I know I'm supposed to do that. But that's supposed to prepare you for something. Okay, your spiritual disciplines, devos, your prayer and fasting life, your scripture memory, yes, it's supposed to help you to be holy yourself. But it's also supposed to help you to fulfill your purpose. Okay, and part of your purpose is the way that we live in, not just Christ lived in incarnational ministry, but can I say to you, you are to live incarnational ministry. Why do I say that? Okay, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. This is not on your notes. This is free. You didn't pay for this. Okay, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. The beginning purpose of mankind. Let me quote it for you. Let us, and God said on the sixth day, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Okay, let us make man in our image and our likeness. I wonder, what does that mean? In our Christian ranks, many times we've heard it mean something like this. God made you with mind, will, and emotions. Some kind of attributes like God. Mind, will, and emotions. I'm going to say to you, it's not that it includes that, but it also includes something different. One of my loves right now, building people, not rockets, ministering like this, I'm an Old Testament guy. I love the Old Testament. I'm getting my PhD in the Old Testament right now as well, and I've just learned that everything that is in the Old Testament is foundational to know God, and I've come to some, ultimately, just some understandings of what God has called us to do. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, let us make man in our image and our likeness. What does that mean? Well, let me give you a metaphor. When Moses wrote that passage, I believe Moses wrote that passage. When Moses wrote that, His people understood that because that was a common ancient Near East term, image and likeness, image and likeness. When he wrote that, his people clearly understood, because this is what happened in the ancient Near East. A great king would arise, like the king of Babylon or the king of Persia or something like this, and they would always be fighting. Like, not much has changed, right, since then. And the great king would arise and go conquering. So he would swing around and go conquer like modern-day Turkey. Then he'd swing down the promised land, the Canaan, and then he'd swing down to Egypt. He would conquer all of that land. He was the great king. Now, when he was done conquering the entire known world at that point, he would go back and enjoy the spoils of his war, and he would go back home and rest. But he would leave something in Egypt. Let's say Egypt is down there for just a second. He would leave something in Egypt. Lady in the green right here. Could you stand up? He would leave Lady in the Green in Egypt. Okay? And then he would come through the promised land. He'd conquered Canaan right here. Mark Buono, stand up. He would leave something there, like Mark Buono. Man in the blue shirts, why don't you stand up right there? When he came back home across the Euphrates River, the Tigris-Euphrates Fertile Crescent, he would go back home, he would leave something there, and then he would come back and reside back home in Babylon. This is the great king over here. Yellow shirt man, you're the great king. Way to go, great king. Now, so the great king left something all across the world that he knew, and they were stone statues. They were stone statues, great stone statues, and they looked just like the great king. Oh, great king, you're not supposed to be sitting yet. You have not ascended to the right hand of the throne of God, so you're sitting down. He would leave statues. And we can show this in ancient Near East inscription that, do you know what those things were called? They were called the image and the likeness of the great king. What were they for? What were they for? They were reminders. They were visible representatives of the great king, but he wasn't there. But they reminded him that he was the one in charge, and the statues were the visible representative of the great king. Guys, go ahead and sit down for just a second. That was your purpose from the beginning. You know Israel's sad history of this. Israel in the Old Testament, when you looked at Israel, you didn't ultimately see God many times, the incomparable, only great king. You saw all the idols around. When you looked at Israel, you saw the idolatry, the false gods, okay? So God had to ultimately prepare his own perfect, visible representative of the invisible God. And who was that? Tell me, who was that? Say the Sunday school answer. Jesus, the Word became flesh. He was the perfect visible representation of the invisible God. Incarnational ministry to show God to us. But then he stopped, right? And we don't have that purpose anymore. No, remember, the greatest, one of the greatest counseling verses out there. You'll use, I use Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also did predestine to do what? To do what? To be conformed to the... Oh, there's our image. And what was Jesus? The image of his son. And what was Jesus? Jesus was the perfect visible representative of the invisible God. And guess what you're doing? You're being conformed to the image of the son who was the perfect one. Your purpose is still incarnational ministry. Your devos, your prayer life, your fasting life, your scripture memory is all toward to motivate you to get to incarnational ministry. So when people look at you, they see Jesus and God. And to do that, these key elements are, you say, how do I do that? That's what these key elements all are about. Okay? And they're not just for counseling. Okay, now they can be most clearly seen in a 1 hour where we're trying to manifest them in a 1 hour, one kind of session. But they're not just for counseling. Say, not just for counseling. Okay. They are incarnational ministry. Say that, incarnational ministry, so that you become like your Savior. The first one is this, and we know this, key elements. Let me give them all to you, and then I'm going to... These aren't original with us either, but the first one is like build loving involvement. Build loving involvement. build involvement, give hope, gather that.